There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Snowmageddon did not hit here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Actually, I got to check to points north. We'll get a snow report because we're going to talk to Todd Stacy right now up in Montgomery. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. So you seeing any kind of snow at the upper reaches of the empire that is Alabama Daily News in Montgomery?
No, Sean, it was a bust here. Now, look, we were kind of on the edge anyway, so I didn't expect any snow, really. Just a lot of sleet. And but really, even up north, they only got maybe an hour of some flakes. So, you know, kind of a bust as far as the snow goes. But, hey, that's a good thing. It means, you know, maybe fewer accidents and things.
At least people still have accidents as they're, you know, running out. Oh, I still have to get 18 loaves of bread and some more bologna.
Yes. This has been tremendous for the dairy and grain industries. They love this. In fact, I saw William Gilmer. He's a dairy farmer that's involved with Alpha. He says, hey, don't stop. Keep going and buying that milk. Buy it till it runs out.
If you're just joining us, talking to Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, the website, and also where you register to get this great email in y'all's inbox every morning. Todd, tell them about it.
That's right. Yeah, I send out an email every morning. It's called the Daily News Digest, and it's just a run-through of the top five stories of the day, whether that's, you know, state news here in the legislature or the state capitol or from Washington, D.C., you know, whatever's really leading the news today. And kind of compile it all and explain it a little bit. You can have all that in your inbox free of charge. Just go to aldailynews.com, click subscribe right there at the top, enter your name and email, and you'll hear from me. I'll be in your inbox every day.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's a resource y'all need to get. And you're talking about reporting national news and state news, and sometimes the two become one. And it is a discussion of somebody that used to be on this show quite a bit in days of yore, the end of 2016, and he is now in the news cycle in a national sense. And, of course, back here at Alabama, that is Cliff Sims, one-time proprietor over at Yellowhammer News, and Team of Vipers, his new book. He's doing the press junkets now, and he's getting some headlines, even getting tweets from the president.
That's right. You know, I've known Cliff for, you know, 10 years, or I guess maybe 8 years, but you know, yeah, he sure has come a long way. I mean, he started kind of on a small level here. He was an intern in the state legislature when I was there and, you know, quickly ascended. He started Yellowhammer, which obviously took off, and, you know, used that to go to the Trump campaign, and from the Trump campaign went to the White House. So, I mean, really just an amazing ascent as far as, you know, politics goes. But, you know, after about a year and a half, he left the White House, and there was some confusion. You know, different stories told whether he was asked to leave or, you know, whether he left on his own. But the most important thing is he's now written a book, a tell-all book. And, you know, Sean, everybody thought just because of, you know, Cliff's history and just knowing him, you know, how supportive he has been of the president, everybody thought this was going to be a very pro-Trump, very pro, you know, kind of defending the White House book. But it's not turning out that way. It's the excerpts that have been released. I mean, he doesn't pull punches. Today's excerpt is about Stephen Miller, who is also, you know, has Alabama ties, used to work for Jeff Sessions. And he has some very critical things. let me put it this way. He's not critical of Miller. He just releases some quotes from Miller that are pretty damning. And so nobody really expected that. Nobody expected Cliff to come out and really embarrass the White House in many ways, but that's what he's done.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's my angle on it. This is fun. And I talked about it last hour as well, kind of giving the history of when this all, not that I was there for every conversation, but it was weeks before Cliff took the job with the Trump campaign that he told me before we went on air or between breaks or something. He said, man, Sean, because we were two people in the state that were questioning candidate Donald J. Trump. I mean, he had been on my show, he had been in Mobile, but I was still, one of those people that I was going down the list and said, you know, let's look at these things that are conservative, running the conservative litmus test. And I said, I worry about this, this, and this. Still I was trying to define Donald Trump as a conservative instead of being, aware of the fact that he was a populist, and it was a different thing. And Cliff had the same issues, and we talked about it on the show. And then one day he says, during the break, he says, hey, man, I think I'm taking a little sabbatical from Yellowhammer. I was like, what are you doing? What's happening? He said, I'm thinking about going to work with the Trump campaign. I said, what? And we had this conversation. I said, really? He said, well, and it's very similar. I heard a clip from Morning Show this morning, what he was talking about. He said, he and his wife talked about it, and when would you get an opportunity? He said the same thing to me in 2016. He said, when am I going to get the opportunity to be closest, to the height of power, be closest to the president? Other than this, he said, this might be my chance. And he said that same thing this morning on Morning Joe. So I believe that's probably valid. It was almost, I guess, mercenary is not the right word because it has some negative connotations. But, why not? I mean, you get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, go for it. But I was surprised. I mean, he was not a Donald Trump supporter at that point.
That's right. And I had the same kind of conversation with him. In fact, he was very close to the Sessions folks, including Stephen Miller, very close to that, to Sessions himself and his aides that all went over to the, to the Trump campaign. So, maybe that's part of it. There has obviously been a big division between the Trump folks and the Sessions folks. I mean, gosh, he fired him. So I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I remember all that too. And I don't begrudge him going to the White House. I mean, that's amazing. Who would not take that job? Who would not want that opportunity? It's a fantastic opportunity. And I don't begrudge him for writing a book. I mean, if he observed all these things and saw all these things, man, go do it. Go make a check. He reportedly got a seven-figure signing bonus for this thing, or advance rather, from the publishing company. That's $1 million, Sean. I mean, if you can get that kind of money, that's great. On the other hand, his reputation in politics, as far as working for politicians and advising politicians, that's probably done because you can't kiss and tell.
Right. Well, although there's been a series of these books on the kiss and tell side, but I think this is interesting because, you said people would think that it would come out with a glowing reviews of President Trump. But I have not read the book yet. And Cliff, if you listen to this podcast, man, I'm still waiting on my book. If I would argue that maybe we need to wait and hear, because if I am a news group out there, other than maybe, let's say, Fox, that I'm going to look for the part of the book that is going to make the president look bad, right? And if you write a fair book, I mean, if you write, other than Jesus, if you write a book about somebody, they're not perfect all the time, right? Other than Mother Teresa and Jesus, there's going to be parts of it. So maybe, I don't know this because I haven't read the book yet, but maybe there's parts that are pretty fair and pretty positive to President Trump, but those aren't the ones that they're running with on CNN or Morning Joe.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sean, I fully expect when we see the full, full book and all the excerpts are released, you're going to see some glowing stuff about Trump. And it's probably pretty clever of Cliff and his marketing folks to get the bad stuff out first. Get the president to tweet about it like he did today. I mean, he's saying this guy's a loser or he's a gopher or whatever,
Low-level staffer. He pretends to be an insider when in fact he was nothing more than a gopher.
Right. So wait until the good stuff comes out, and then, the president's going to find something that he likes and say, hey, look, see this thing? So you kind of get the double whammy. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on here. But, you know, I've also got no reason to believe that what he's written is a lie or false in any way. I mean, the quote that he attributes to Stephen Miller about, you know, never wanting to see another refugee set foot in the United States. I know Stephen, and I have no doubt. I mean, I don't doubt at all that he said that.
Is great. This is what's good, because your insight into Washington. Because Stephen's the one basically that recruited Cliff, correct?
That's right. So if you go back probably to 2015, Cliff was running Yellowhammer at the time, and he was close with Stephen Miller and some of the other Sessions people. Well, I guess it was early 2016 that Miller went to the Trump campaign full time, and eventually Rick Dearborn did too. So, you know, Sessions' top people went to the Trump campaign, and not long after that, Cliff went too. So the only reason that Cliff is in Trump world is because of Stephen Miller. So I found that interesting that, you know.
So does that give more variety? So when, and y'all can read this, you get this morning's email here in the news briefs. I mean, you have this quote, Miller's quoted as saying, "I would be happy if not a single refugee foot ever again touched American soil." I mean, part of this, unless I'm, 2 degrees off on this, would make me think that is more believable than if anybody else said it. I mean, Cliff Sims giving me that quote seems to have veracity. Am I wrong in that?
I have no reason to doubt it. In fact, I mean, when I saw it, I thought, of course he said that. I mean,
okay, because exactly you can vouch for that. You had the same reaction.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just about this current refugee crisis. This one is, you know, Cliff wasn't even there when our current crisis is going on. What they're probably talking about is Syria. And if you recall, they stopped all refugees from coming from Syria for, I guess it was like 72 hours. And it was a madhouse in the New York airports and all that. And it was a big crisis, maybe about a year ago. Well, Stephen Miller was at the forefront of that. He was the one calling for that policy. And so that's probably what this was about. And I have no doubt that Miller said that. Now, look, it's an embarrassing thing. It's a thing you say to a colleague that you don't want, you know, repeated publicly, but
it's Washington, Todd. Come on, man. You're savvier than everything leaks.
Well, now it has. And, so the White House is not commenting on it except to say, you know, Sarah Sanders said that she never knew Stephen Miller to say anything like that. That's what she said. Miller himself hasn't responded to anything, but look, that'll wash over in a couple of days, and there'll be another quote or another excerpt, so we'll just see it as it comes. But I'm fascinated by the fact that there, like you said, there's some good and some bad. And of course the media is kind of salivating about all the negative stuff.
Yeah, it will help just the way my brain works. And I know it's not popular in today's world, but when I get counter opinion, when I read something and I get some balance from something, it makes me, I believe the bad thing. If I see some good, I believe the bad thing as much as I do the good, right? It one reinforces the other.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just a fluff book, number one, nobody would read it. And number two, it wouldn't be believable. You know, like, well, okay, clearly you're just, trying to support the president and just say he's great all the time. But if you throw in some things that aren't so not, glowing, aren't so, fluffy, then yeah, it lends credence to that, to everything else that you say. I mean, that's just kind of basic rhetoric, right? But so, yeah, I think number one, he's going to sell a lot more books by including some of the juicy stuff. And number two, it lends credence, it makes people think, okay, yeah, there's some truth here.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And make sure you go over there and sign up for the email in your inbox. You'd be checking all this stuff out we're talking about now, first thing this morning when you got that email. Coming back, we'll talk a little more about Washington, but we're going to focus on Montgomery, because session is just a little over a short month away, and they're already getting ready. They're working. Sausage making's already started.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And Todd, if you thought you were busy you know, over the last couple months. Holy cow, with sessions starting here in less, well, I mean, less than 30-something days. And we got February, but short month. I mean, they're getting ready to get fired up in early March.
Sean, I've never been busier, and it's only going to get worse. Yeah, we've got session coming up in a month. I'm going to D.C. next week to talk to the, you know, our congressional delegation. It just so happens that the State of the Union got moved, so I'm pretty pumped about that. There'll be a lot going on in D.C. that week.
Oh, you're going to be and there at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Of course, I'm not invited. I don't think Pelosi has not invited me to the State of the Union, but we'll be in town for it. So it's cool because you'll get to, you know, I'm talking to all the congressmen and senators that week, so I'll get their reaction to things. And so it's just kind of heightens the importance. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll have a lot of that news coming out, you know, as next week proceeds and also into the following week. But, yeah, getting back, I mean, the legislative session is going to be here before you know it. It's just a little over a month away. But right now, in fact, here just very soon, they're going to be starting the budget hearings. This is the very beginning of the process where, like you said, the sausage gets made. Today is a hearing on the education budget. They're going to hear from all the different agency heads, like the superintendent of education and the early childhood people and the mental health people, to see, hey, what are your budget needs for the year? What's your budget going to look like? These are agency heads that ask the lawmakers, well, hey, we need this million, you know, here, this million here, and they ask a lot of questions just so there are no surprises when the budgets are released. But it's a really important process because we get to see for the first time publicly, you know, okay, what is the budget really going to look like? What are the actual numbers? Everybody's been speculating on, you know, how good the economy's doing, and maybe we've got some good budgets, but today's the first day we will really know.
Okay, so this goes back, you talk about the budgets and talk about how they're looking year to year. This goes back to a bigger discussion that we will probably have to tackle on a future show, but that's the nature of bureaucracy, and bureaucracy just as a definition, not even as a cut down or making it negative, but by its nature, if you don't use up the money you have in a given year, you don't act like you need all that funding, sometimes those agencies get cut year to year. So we're, I mean, almost in a self-defeating prophecy, right? I mean, with the way we do things in Montgomery and I guess every other capital in the country.
Well, Alabama is unique in that we split our budgets up. You know, we've got one budget that pays for education and, you know, some education related things, but mostly education.
Behind the wall, behind the big ETF wall.
Right. It is, you know, that is it. And so, and then a budget for everything else called the general fund. So, now, they did that, you know, 40 years ago to make sure, you know, basically to protect education, which, yes, great,
right.
You know.
Because we didn't
fine.
Trust them. We didn't trust them.
Yeah, they did that. Okay, fine. And goodness, you ask anybody, trying to unify those budgets, it's like grabbing the third rail. It's nobody's going to do it. But because of that, it creates a lot of complications, including the fact that when the economy does well, like it is right now, man, education funding is going up. We're going to have record funding this year. We could have $8 billion in the education budget. That would be unprecedented, which is a great thing. The only problem is, on the other side, you know, when the economy does well, it doesn't really help the general fund as much. And so here's education, you know, plugging right along, and all the other agencies, you know, that people depend on don't get funded very well. But what I'm hearing is that both budgets look pretty good this year. You know, no real heartaches so far. So I'm looking, you know, my reporter Caroline Beck is going down to the State House as we speak, and so we'll know more tomorrow.
All right, and speaking of funding, that brings up lottery. It's one of the things they're going to face. So we're going to have a lottery to fix what?
Well, there's already been a lottery bill pre-filed, and it doesn't. It doesn't say it's going toward anything.
Come on, man. Come on.
Well, I think it's Senator Jim McClendon, and he's doing it just as a point. I don't think he expects it to pass or anything. He is more making the point that it's time to institute the state lottery to take advantage of this money that is, you know, he argues is going to other states. And look, yeah, you live near a state line and you see it, right? The, mm-hmm. the gas stations on the Florida line or Mississippi line or whatever it is. So yeah, that's what he's saying. He doesn't really argue where the money should go. Maybe it's education, maybe it's other things. He's saying we've got to start taking advantage of those dollars and putting them to use in Alabama. So That's why he's pre-filed his bill.
That's interesting. I mean, I like that. I mean, that's kind of an agnostic look at the lottery, saying it's almost just from a revenue side, where we know in the past lotteries get passed because they're for children or for whatever, usually for children. It's for the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, thinking about lottery, I mean, it's gambling. And when you gamble, which, you know, is a big bad sin, you want to feel like you're doing something good with that sin, right? You're paying money for the kids,
right,
or something like that. That's how it works. It's just a, you know, ebb and flow. But I'll be interested to see, number one, if they actually pass something, if it actually gets close to passing, and if that something is specific. Because there are two things that have to happen. Number one, you've got to, you know, have a constitutional amendment. Basically, the people have to vote on a lottery, which, you know, they'll support, you know, a reasonable plan. But then you've got to have enabling legislation that's just a law, it doesn't have to be voted on, that kind of sets up the nuts and bolts of it. And there's a lot of argument, like, which goes first? Do you let the people vote first before the details are set, or do you want the details out there, you know, and then let the people vote? Which do you really want? And so that's kind of the way I'm watching it.
All right. And remind folks to read more about this on your website and tell them about getting that email again.
That's right. Please do. Alabama Daily News, it's aldailynews.com. If you go right there at the homepage and click subscribe, enter your name and your email, and you'll get an email from me every morning, free of charge, doesn't cost anything at all. Just, you know, click on an ad every now and again.
There you go. I appreciate it. And we will, hey, listen, I understand where you're coming from, and we'll talk again soon and a whole bunch leading into session. Thank you for your time, Todd.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, coming right back. They're adding new parking meters in downtown. New parking meters that will have an app that you can use with it. You can use your credit card to pay for parking. Laura Byrne joins us from the City of Mobile next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And, you know, speaking of this week, and, you know, got the cold weather now, and Dr. Bill just said warm it up as we get into the weekend. Pretty good news for, yeah, y'all are going to go, no way. Yeah, the first Mardi Gras parade of the year rolls Saturday, 1 o'clock, and Crew de la Dauphine Parade on Dolphin Island. Of course, a week from then, People's Parade, Mardi Gras Parade on Dolphin Island at 1 as well. So the Mardi Gras season getting started in earnest. Actually, gets started. We could talk about 12th night and all that stuff earlier in January. But for the parading season, how about that? Get started on Saturday. And we start thinking all things Mardi Gras. Moon Pie Minute returns. We'll talk about that later on in the week. Of course, the story of Mardi Gras is told by our own Rennie Brabner. That's happening. Plus, this year, podcast available of the Moon Pie Minutes. We'll give you details on that. Also gets me thinking about, well, going downtown, Mobile's parading season, and trying to park when you're downtown as well. And speaking of parking, got a press release about changes coming to the parking meters in downtown. We're going high tech, and this is coming very soon. So let's get into it. More on this. Let's talk to Laura Byrne, Deputy Director of Communications with the City of Mobile. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good, good. And you got my attention here. Got a press release from you earlier this morning about some changes coming to parking in the city of Mobile. Now, when I saw it, I said, oh, great, here we go. This is going to be about, you know, some kind of, hey, it's Mardi Gras, you don't park where you're not supposed to. But it's not. This is something new the city is rolling out. Talk to me about this.
Yes. So we are moving into the 21st century with our parking system downtown. So for the longest time, you know, anyone that's familiar with parking downtown knows that you only pay with change. This new system will allow you to pay with a credit card. It will allow you to pay with an app, along with the old form of coins, if that's something that you prefer to use.
I mean, let's just talk some real stuff. This is real life, is showing up to some meeting downtown for me or somewhere I have to go. And I do find, you know, okay, there's a parking place. I get it. And I have 35 cents. You know, I have more money, but in change, I have 35 cents in my truck. And so if you're going to park there and walk somewhere and then have to get change and leave the meeting and go put more change in, I mean, it's a pain.
Right. In this case, too, with the app, what you can do is, let's say your meeting's running long and you didn't put enough in there, you can actually put some more in while you're still in your meeting, just off straight to your app. So okay. It gives you that flexibility as well.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, so it takes coins, it takes credit cards, and pay by phone technology, but if you're on the app, so I'm sitting, whatever, I don't know, our meeting went long, lunch, say it's even fun, we're having lunch and it's gone long, and I know that, you know, at 1:30, time's up. How do I log, how does it know where I'm parking? How does the app know that? Do we have a number that corresponds between the parking spot and the app?
Sure, so when you pay with your app, you'll put that information in the app, and so then when you move to, let's say you're at a restaurant or at another office space downtown, then you open up your app and just put, and then you add in, you know, more money to it.
Just joining us, talking to Laura Byrne with the City of Mobile and talking about changes coming to our parking meters, coming up into the modern times with those. So well done. And when does this start? I mean, when will we see the new meters on the parking sticks downtown?
They are starting installation this week. They hope to finish next week, and then it will be, live after that.
And we have a little trouble hearing you, but you said it, so by next week we're going to see these. I mean, we can be using the app and the cards and the whole nine.
Yes, they hope, pending weather, they hope to finish installation by next week.
So in other words, we're going to be ready to go for Mardi Gras.
Yes.
Let's talk about the meters. How does this work? I mean, in your press release, you talk about Republic Parking System. Do they pay for these things, or do the taxpayer, who pays for the actual the meter, the actual physical meter?
Sure. So we have a contract with them. So we will, recoup some money through when people pay for parking and that type of thing. But there is a contract that we have with Republic, and what that does is allows them, as the parking experts, to implement this new technology. They also are very focused on customer service, helping people through this transition. They'll have a presence downtown as well, and they will have more visibility with signage and that type of thing too, so that people are aware, they understand the new system, and are there to answer questions and that type of thing.
And there's, I hate this because I would wish I would have gotten this web address to post up pictures of people that are bad parkers, but it's not mobilealparking.com. That's kind of a clearinghouse for all this?
Yes, it has not been launched yet, but they will be launching it very soon.
And along with the technology, I was reading here too, there's going to be some changes. I got the meters, but you said line striping, new line striping, new signage, and new designated long-term parking zones. Explain all that to me.
Sure. So one of the things that they are looking at is how people park and where people park. So there are certain places around downtown where you want to ensure that people, that you're moving people in and out, right? Those are the places that you would have, 2-hour parking.
Right.
It's not too different from what we have now. But then there are some other locations where people that are working downtown, they would need places where they could park for a longer period of time. So that's something that we're looking into, is having those discussions with people that work downtown about a system where they can have a place where they can park that's still close to where they work, while still allowing some other parking spots for people that are visiting, shopping, eating, that type of thing, and having those move in and out at a very good system.
Okay, so but those areas would be at a different rate, or would just be designated differently? How would that look?
They would be in a different area.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe I'm just guessing here, like the ones that are along the, we're going down, we're going around Bienville Square. Those there may be different than some parking that's behind a building somewhere or something like that?
Right. So most likely something like Dauphin Street, you would want to create a system where people are moving in and out, because so many people are stopping there to maybe go grab lunch or go shopping or that type of thing. And so what you would want to do is have a system in place where people are moving in and out. And the reason why that's important is when you are that person that's looking for somewhere to park, that you actually have a place where you can find parking. So, but let's say you're someone who works downtown, we could find a different area that's still close to wherever it is that you're reporting to work that you could park all day at.
I mean, that's true. Right. I mean, how many laps have I done through the circuit of downtown trying to find a parking place, and you know, I only need to be there for 30 minutes. I only need to run in, go to a quick meeting, grab a quick bite or something like that. And yeah, it's tough, Laura. There's a lot of times you just can't find parking close to where you want to go.
Right, right. And then especially with having new signage and line striping is important, because right now it sometimes it can be a little bit confusing about, you know, where can I park? How much is it? How do I pay? That type of thing. It's just not quite as clear. So when you put in these new meters, you also have that new signage that will make it much easier and much more readily understandable for people when they're parking downtown.
Just joining us, talking to Deputy Director of Communications with the City of Mobile, Laura Byrne, and looking at a picture here of what the parking meter heads are going to look like. Y'all are going to see the same old coin slot, but also a place to put your card in. And then you mentioned, once again, this app. Parking app, is this something that do we go to iTunes or Google Play, or how do we get the app? Is this something that's available now?
Once the website is launched, there will be information about the app there, and that's mobilealparking.com.
Okay, so you'll be able to, you will go to that website and download the app from there?
Yes.
All right, so this is going to be like next couple weeks. I mean, we should be having this on our phone.
Yes, it should be live very soon. Obviously, that's pending weather for this installation, but they are almost ready to roll.
All right. Well, good deal. This is some changes I think will be appreciated by people trying to, if they're going downtown every day, every week, or just a couple times a year, I think these changes will be well received. Laura, thanks for joining us.
John.
All right. Laura Byrne with the City of Mobile right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, big thank you to Laura Byrne, also Todd Stacy, talking with us this hour. Gosh, there's a lot to talk about. Our buddy Jeff Poore is going to join us tomorrow and joins us during Mobile Mornings, does it every Wednesday. Hopefully, maybe we even have him back for the midday, because I do want to get his take, too, on this Cliff Sims story. It's pretty interesting. I mean, this is going to be, I'll tell you this, the next month or so, when they're doing this, the press junket here, the publicity tour for Cliff's book, Team of Vipers, it should be real interesting, because you'll get, hopefully we'll get Cliff on the show himself here soon, but also, like you heard from Todd Stacy, and I can tell you with Cliff Sims, and the handful of us in the state, maybe even bigger, like a big old handful, like somebody who was just in for the Senior Bowls, that kind of handful, big hands handful of folks in the state that are pretty familiar with Cliff. And it's really interesting to look at this story. You see so many of these stories and you don't know the person, right? They're a two-dimensional. It's a Roger Stone. It's Kellyanne Conway. It's a whatever. In this case, I know the dude they're talking about. And I think it's going to make it really interesting. And there's quite a few of us in the state that do. So it'll be good to go through this book and what Cliff says. And I go back to what I said to Todd Stacy early in the hour. I think this will be one of these stories where you're seeing, just by the nature of what, if you're Morning Joe, the excerpt from the book you want is going to be negative against Trump. And then maybe by next week or the week after, there's going to be conservative outlets that have Cliff on, and they're going to be talking about the positive aspects. I mean, that's just reality. If you're telling a story of how somebody is, hey, other than, like I said, other than Jesus or Mother Teresa, I don't know if you're going to have a book that's all glow. And I wouldn't want to read the book that's nothing but a rah-rah piece, because then, you know, it's probably not entirely accurate. But it'll be interesting to cage what is said in the book, what you hear in the, you know, cable news network say, and then we'll get Cliff on the show, we'll get these other people on the show, and we'll try to dissect this. Also, I mentioned, of course, going into our conversation about the parking meters and Mardi Gras. Yeah, get cranked up this Saturday. Crew de la Dauphine Parade, that's at 1 o'clock. And the week after, a week from Saturday, you double up. You got another parade, People's Parade on Dolphin Island, and that's a 1 o'clock parade route as well. And it's Parade Route I. Y'all want to make a note of that? Parade Route I for that parade. What? No, you hadn't heard about it because I made it up. No, that just means It means it's on the island. That's Parade Route I. All of them run. And you can say, if you look at the roadway, looking kind of east to west, west to east, the general Bienville Boulevard, it kind of looks, come on, give me, it kind of looks like an eye. Kind of like an eye with a lot of extra hash marks on it. But yes, Mardi Gras parade and season gets started in earnest this Saturday on the island. Let me run through a couple things. We'll have this list up, of course, on our website over at fmtalk1065.com, where we will also this year not only be telling you about parade schedules and all the other information about Mardi Gras, our podcast of the Moon Pie Minute. First time ever, Moon Pie Minute is also going to be posted as a podcast. Those will be up there as well. Go to the website and get those so you can like binge listen to the Moon Pie Minute, the story of Mardi Gras, as told by our own Reddy Brabner. So, yeah, so a couple things here. Number one, there'll be some discussions of more parade routes in the city of Mobile. I think we're at four, right? Yeah, four right now for parade routes for the city. Most of them will roll on A. Of course, there's a few other exceptions. But, yeah, the Mobile downtown parading season starts on February 15th. So that's a Friday. You got Valentine's Day on a Thursday. Oh, February 15th, the day that government may go back into a partial shutdown. But it's also the night that the Condies roll, 6:30, Parade Route A, getting the Mobile parade season started. Then that next day, Saturday, you got the Pharaohs and the Bayport Parading Society. And then the following week starts off on a Thursday with the polka dots, and then the Incas on that Friday night, and then we're getting into it big time. But yeah, so Mardi Gras is here, and we'll tell you more about that later in the week, but we're getting ready to crank up with the story of Mardi Gras as told by Rennie Bramner and the Moon Pie Minute right here at FM Talk 106.5. Okay, also a couple notes to watch here. We'll watch for any more commentary here on Roger Stone. We'll give you that on tomorrow morning's show. Plus, what's going on today in Montgomery. You heard Todd Stacey mention that, and that's important because even though session doesn't start until March, right now you have the budget hearings going on today and tomorrow at the State House. Now, this is the annual meeting in which the heads of different state agencies come in, tell the senators, tell the House members and their staffs what the budget needs are for the year. Remember, we've talked about how earmarked, that 93% of the general fund budget is earmarked in Alabama, meaning that that money is locked in. It can't go, it comes from this revenue source and has to go to this agency or this part of state government. And so if you're a state agency, you're going to go in there and say you need 100% of the money you're getting because you want to make sure to live up to what's earmarked, that there's not money laying on the table. If we move, some people have suggested we move to a zero earmarked budget in Alabama. Number one, I don't know that we should do that. Number two, I think that's probably a hill too high to climb. But what if as a agenda, maybe they even start looking at this as they go through these sessions before session in Montgomery, well, we try 3% the first year. Why don't we go from 93% to 90% earmarking in the state budget and just see if nobody loses their jobs, there's not mass panic, that we're not running through the streets like we're in a Godzilla movie and everything works okay in Montgomery, then maybe the next year you have 5% on earmarking of the budget and just kind of work it that way. Like kind of reverse engineer this thing. I don't know. A suggestion. See if it falls on deaf ears in Montgomery, but we will keep an eye on what's going on Goat Hill all session long. So make sure to put that on your to-do list. Listen, listen, listen. I know national politics are so hard not to pay attention to, and I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention to national politics, but the government closest to you makes the biggest difference in your life. And, well, that's going to be right here in your city, county government, and also in Montgomery. There's so much getting ready to happen in Montgomery. Do not miss it. We will cover it daily here all session long on Midday Mobile. All right, I'm out of here. Paul Feinbaum's show is on the way next. See you all in the morning for Mobile Mornings right here at FM Talk 106.5.